कांग्रेचुलेशंस, डिस्ट्रिक्ट दे रहे हैं तुम्हें बांकीपुर। सबको संभालते हुए यू नो बैलेंस बना के चलना।
आई विल ट्राई माय बेस्ट सर।
पूरब तो भाग जाए पश्चिम भाग ले, उत्तर भाग जाए दक्षिण भाग ले।
आज समाज में उसकी इज्जत होती है जो कानून तोड़ता है।
छान लेंगे ऐसे जैसे मछली हो जाल में।
लेकिन मैं उसकी इज्जत करती जो कानून तोड़ने वाले को
तोड़ता है।
अरेस्ट कर लो इन सबको।
आप बांकीपुर में आई हैं?
बांकीपुर फीलिंग वेरी लकी।
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. I have with me Mehak back for another episode. Thanks Mehak for being here.
Hi everyone, good to be back.
And the focus of today's episode is Jai Gangajal, starring Priyanka Chopra and Prakash Jha in his acting debut. What did you think?
So, I think as most people think about this film, it's not anything very different from most of Prakash Jha's own films in the past. And let me divide it up into what I liked and what I didn't like. What I liked is, one, so the acting was really good. Priyanka Chopra was really good, even though her role was a bit one-dimensional and it was what was given to her. She was really good in the role, even though her accent might have been a bit too urban at some points in the film. I think for the most part, it was good. But better than her was Prakash Jha, who I was completely surprised by. He definitely had the best role in the film because his character, you really see some character development in the film as opposed to a one-tone actor, one-tone role, which is what Priyanka Chopra really was throughout the movie. Another thing I liked was that the movie seemed to be a bit of, not a satire, but a bit of like a, I don't know what the genre of the movie is, but you know, in the sense that because the names of the villains and the names of the characters were so comical and so stereotypical, it felt a bit
like a caricature, basically.
Yeah, kind of caricaturesque. And so I thought that initially, you know, the movie is going to go down that route, which I thought was very interesting, but it turned out to be a bit of a mix. It took itself a bit too seriously for it to go down that route. But I kind of liked that he was playing around with that a little bit. I mean, it's not really a sequel, but it's a follow-on to the original Gangajal. And I think it retained like that, the same story, but it managed to kind of put it in a newer context. I guess they decided to switch it to, you know, suicides and hangings, which is highly topical. In the past few years in India. What I didn't like, while it retained that original story of Gangajal, I think it was too repetitive at some points. It felt too familiar, especially because it's a Prakash Jha movie. The movie was too long. Like, when it hit intermission, I was like, I can't believe that this is the intermission point. I was waiting.
I think the whole theater was like getting ready to get up and leave, and then it said intermission, and we were
exactly.
Like, what is happening?
So I think the movie could have definitely been shorter. I think those are my main like concerns. But otherwise, it's like a decent movie. It's not a bad movie, but it's not a great one either. What are your thoughts or reactions?
Yeah, so I mean, I completely agree on the Prakash Jha point. He himself acted really well. And a lot of that had to do with the character. The fact that he is the only character who has some sort of depth. All the other characters are pretty one-dimensional and don't really change throughout the film. He's the only one who has some depth, and so, but even then, he still has to deliver it, which he was able to do. Priyanka, I thought, was quite average, and I agree, it's not completely her fault. Her character was just like that, but there was nothing that really stood out about her performance. I actually quite liked the performances of all the supporting characters, like the two brothers who are the villains. They both are kind of very, they are pretty stereotypical characters, but I thought they pulled it off well. Like this convincing portrayal of a politician and his rich, spoilt brother, who's just like a gunda, basically, who goes around like beating people, thinking he owns the world. And I found those to be both much more believable characters even than Priyanka's. A bit too idealistic and too kind of not real compared to the others. Like the others, you could at least imagine, like you've seen or heard of people like that. So that was one thing.
So I kind of agree with you about Priyanka. I totally see where you're coming from. It was a completely one-dimensional character, as I said. And it's not like you forgot that it's Priyanka Chopra. It wasn't like her Barfi or Baji Ram Mastani level performance. But I think with what she was handed, it was pretty good. I mean, it was a bit urban. I guess it was kind of fun to see, like, a woman cop being kind of badass in the movie. I don't know. It was kind of fun. So I guess I was a bit more forgiving.
Yeah, fair enough.
The
other thing I didn't really like is I felt like all of the action scenes and fight scenes were just really kind of cliched and not realistic. Like, it was all in slow motion with this, like, really random choice of music playing. It was always, like, upbeat music playing.
That's why I thought that by going for this, like, kitsch, like, caricaturist type movie, because of the fight scenes and the names and the music when she's beating someone up. So I couldn't figure out whether if it's either, you know, Prakash Jha being like kish and like, you know, caricaturesque and is doing this whole new spin on his type of movies, or whether he's just so out of touch with how movies are being made and I'm interpreting it in a wrong way. Because if it wasn't the former, then the latter was just, like, really pathetic. Like, the music in the fight scenes, I thought she was doing, like, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, a satire or something.
Yeah.
But if it was normal, then that's really pathetic.
And that's the thing, right? Because by the end, at least in the second half, it gets pretty serious. Like all Prakash Jha movies, there are, you know, various people die. We won't say who. But, like, every 15 minutes, someone dies. And there's some political twist or the other. So all of that was still there, and it gets pretty intense and everything, and it's also not like the way someone dies, it's not the way in a Salman movie where he like beats up a bad guy and they're done, or like a Bang Bang type movie. It's like serious intense scenes and stuff, but...
Yeah, I guess now that I think about it and I'm like, you know, putting everything together, maybe it's just like a really dated style of making a movie, because you're right, like, it's not like you can make farmer suicide pitch and like satiric or sorry my pronunciation's all messed up today, but I think you're right. I think it's just a really dated movie. I mean, even like, no, but you know, there were some things, like people used to call her Madam Sir in the movie. So I didn't get it. Like, I think he was a bit confused. Like, at some points it's trying to be funny. At some points it's trying to bring up all these, like, really serious contemporary issues. Cops who are siding with politicians and farmer suicides and land mafia and all this kind of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it was also a bit, it was just a mishmash of too many things, right? And yeah, they tried to bring out all these issues, and they actually, I think, did a fairly good job in bringing it out. Like at the start, when I thought the movie started off fairly well, actually, when they set up the situation of this town where all the cops are corrupt and the ministers have everyone in their pocket, and then Priyanka comes and is like immediately confronted with all these issues and problems. So it set it up very well. Then in the middle, it kind of lost its way. Like, the whole middle 1 hour of the movie was just really random stuff happening. And then again, in the end, it kind of picks up again once the thing with the girl and the kid happens. And that whole what eventually ends up being the plotline. So I think it's just execution-wise, just a lot of things didn't quite fall into place the way they were probably hoping for. They didn't do a lot of promotions for this movie, right? Like, even if I think back to Rajneeti, even though it was a similar type of movie in terms of tone and it's more serious and stuff, they still did a lot of promotions with Ranbir and Katrina and everyone else. I guess one reason, of course, is Priyanka is chilling in the US, not chilling, but running around the country filming Quantico and doing all this other stuff and Baywatch, etc. So she has no time. But there was just, it also just felt like they kind of knew this was kind of a, like, half-baked movie that they're just putting out because, you know, they had only limited time to film it and they put it together and just let it do what it could do.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the movie was severely undermarketed. I mean, we were speaking to our friends and they hadn't even heard of the movie, and it's a Priyanka Chopra movie, which is huge. And I think you're right. It is partially Quantico and her being in the US, but it's also because it's just not... It's kind of like... I don't know if this is the right comparison, but it's like when Sonam Kapoor did that movie Deva Kufiya with Ayushman Khurrana, and even she herself admitted it. The studio hardly promoted it because they knew it was kind of like this half-baked movie, and so they were like, let it do whatever it does and let's not spend more money on this. I don't know. It might have been that kind of a scenario.
Although, to be fair, I mean, the movie is doing pretty well box office-wise. Like, I think it only came out on Friday. They've already made... Yeah, they've already made, I mean, given the type of movie and content, etc., no real big star. I mean, Priyanka is a big star, but she's wasn't really marketed as a PC movie. But it's made like 25 crores in what's like halfway through first week. And that basically means it's recovered its budget. So now whatever it makes in the next, however long it runs, is all profit. So I guess, I mean, they achieved what they needed to achieve.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's really pleasantly surprising, I guess. I'm actually really shocked by that. I mean, I haven't really been following the box office performance of the movie. But that's great.
It's interesting, actually. The only, out of all the films released this year, the only two, and now this one will be the third, that have made money are Airlift and Nirja, which are both about, and this one as well, are both about fairly serious topics, so it's a positive trend. Even though,
and that's really cool because two of them are like, you know, female leads.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's only March. I mean, let's not be too hard on.
Yeah, and this is anyway this is the quiet time for movies because now, especially in the next 1 month, you'll have
IPL,
World T20, cricket, etc.
It sucks that happens, right? I know we're going slightly off topic, but it sucks how, like, in our country, so, like, the first 6 months of the year, basically, it's either, like, these small movies or nothing. Like, we basically have no movies to watch, and then in the last 6 months, it's like, every movie's fighting for a weekend.
But I feel like that happens in a lot of countries, though. Like, in the US, in the summer, you have all the big blockbuster franchise movies. And then in, like, the fall, winter, spring, you have all the Oscar movies that all come out then.
And but like, they have so many more high-quality movies than we have to look forward to. Like, they, every weekend, have one decent movie you can go and watch. Whereas in Bollywood, I would find it very hard that there are 52 movies worth watching in a year. I think in Hollywood, practically every weekend, there's a movie you can go watch. But here, it's like, for 6 months, maybe there must be 5 or 10 movies that, you know, are worth watching.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Anyway, going back to the movie, you mentioned the supporting cast. So, I remember we discussed this in the movie as well, and you mentioned that you particularly liked the two brothers, Bablu and W. Pandey. So, the guy who's a politician, the MP or MLA or whatever he is, he was also in...
In Wazir,
and I really liked him in Wazir as well. And then I googled this guy and turns out that he's also acted in City Lights and I completely forgot, and in Kai Poche. So I don't remember him in Kai Poche until I googled what he did in it. And I thought he's fabulous and I hope like I see him in more stuff, even though he's kind of getting slotted in the same like
type of character. Who is he in City Lights? Is he the main guy?
No. City Lights is Rajkumar Rao. He was that Vishnu,
he looks a bit like Nawazuddin Siddiqui.
No, he's much better looking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, okay, I didn't want to be the one who said that, but he has a similar kind of look to him in terms of his expression.
Guys can appreciate the way other guys look. Pretty objective, like he's better looking than Nawaz than Sneaky's man, please.
Yeah, but he looks similar, is what I said. He can be better or worse looking.
So he's really good, but in his last two movies, he's been playing like evil roles. I'm really scared he's gonna get cast. You know, I'm not scared, but I'm like worried for him because he's such a good actor. He gets stereotyped as this villain or whatever. And then the second brother, who was the like the real like horrible guy who died at the end, he was just he actually felt.
But that was exactly his role in the movie, right? To evoke that strong level of emotion.
He was so good at it. He every time he came on screen, I used to just cringe. Like, it was his hair, the way he looked, the way he spoke, his costume, his body language, like, everything was on point to make you feel just so disgusted and uncomfortable with this guy. Obviously he didn't incite like positive emotions from the audience, but he was so good at what he was meant to do. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there was this, again digressing slightly, but there was this study done on the Oscars. I don't know if you saw about, if you read about it, but they did an analysis of what movies have won the Oscars, and they found that most movies that won are like movies that incite some sort of negative emotion in you, whether it's like anger or fear or like disgust or something, as opposed to positive emotions. So that can be pretty powerful in itself, which I think it was, right? Because that, like, that is one of the main reasons, actually, that it, at least in this movie, I felt like I was more rooting for the cops because of how disgusting this guy was, as opposed to how great the cops were. Because actually, if you look at the plot, they keep messing things up somehow or the other.
So just two things. So one, another character that I really liked was the cop who, I think his name was Krishna or something, but basically the cop who she thought is good but is actually bad and starts colluding with the politician family once Dhiren Singh, played by Prakash Jha, becomes a good cop.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I'm giving major spoilers, but I assume that anyone who watches this would have seen the movie or doesn't care. Even he was really good, and I've definitely seen his face somewhere else. I can't remember where. And then the second point on your point on films that basically make the audience feel more negative emotions, being more successful. I can see that being true, because I also feel like generally people generally people feel like audience and critics feel that when an actor plays a negative role, or when an actor plays a role with shades of grey or a more real character, then they are better actors. It's perceived as such. I'm not saying that actors who are generally play more positive roles or more inspiring roles, they aren't as good actors, but I just think that there's that perception that when you're acting more real or more grey, then you're acting better. It might be true, it might not be true, but I think there's that angle also, I don't know.
But better or worse is kind of difficult to say, but I think, I mean, it's hard, at least the logic is that it's harder to play a role that is more ambiguous and that has shades of grey than playing a role that's very clearly always good and idealistic, etc. Which is, even in this movie, right? Like, one of the reasons Priyanka's character doesn't resonate is the fact that it is so plain vanilla and very overly
ambiguous.
Yeah,
and there's less for the actor to really, like, chew on in these, like, very positive, one-dimensional type roles. And I think also people like rewarding, especially I think things like the Oscars sometimes. I don't know how true my statement might be, but I think people like rewarding actors who play like riskier roles and grayer roles or take on riskier subjects, because generally they, you know, they're not incentivized to, but then they do. I think there's that angle as well. And I think that's happening in Bollywood as well.
Yep. Anything else about the movie?
Anything else about the movie? No, nothing really.
Cool. So overall verdict, watch the movie, don't watch the movie.
I'd say watch the movie on Netflix or like on TV.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go for it because it's too long, man. You need a break or something. But watch it for Prakash Jha, actually.
Yeah, I agree. Way too long, but otherwise generally watchable. Cool. With that, let's move on to trailers. You discussed Fan already.
Yeah. So, what did you think of Fan?
So,
what were your views?
So, I mean, I remember we discussed this a couple of weeks ago before before the full trailer came out, and we were talking about the fact that it's not necessarily a very commercial movie, and it's kind of a psychological thriller. So, I was really happy with the trailer because I thought it basically met my expectations in terms of what I thought the movie would be and what I thought the whole premise would be. I fear that it's going to end up being slightly more commercial than it could have been, because they have those scenes where these guys are both versions of Shah Rukh are like jumping across buildings, chasing each other and stuff. Like, I have a feeling that's going to ruin it a little bit. But everything until that point, I was really happy with, and I'm very excited for this movie now.
Yeah, so I pretty much agree with you. I was surprised by the movie because until you told me that it was a thriller, I really didn't know that Fan was a thriller. I knew there was something weird about this Fan, but I didn't realize it would be like this type of a movie. I agree, it met my expectations completely. And initially, as you know, I was highly defensive of Shah Rukh Khan being like, no, this is not going to be a commercial movie, this is going to be an amazing movie, this is so different, like all that stuff. But having said that, I've seen the trailer like 3-4 times now. And you're right, it is pretty commercial. And I think that trying to be like, they think they're being very intelligent and smart, but you're right, at the end, like, why is this superstar chasing his fans abroad somewhere? So, I'm a little bit scared, but I'm happy that Shah Rukh Khan, I mean, is kind of doing something that's outside of what he's done in the past 4-5 years. Also, I really liked the first song, Zebra. I thought it was quite nice, though I'm not sure whether it's the song I like or how high energy Shah Rukh is in the video of the song.
The song has grown on me, but the video is amazing. Like, just how, yeah, exactly, his energy level and how not polished he is. It's very convincing that he's just some random guy on the street who's just obsessed.
Yeah. So actually, in the song, more than the trailer, I was like, wow, he looks exactly like a 25-year-old Delhi boy. That amount of energy, like, I can't believe that someone at Shah Rukh's age can have so much energy in his body language and while dancing. I was definitely like blown away by that. And I think that's why I was so highly defensive of the trailer initially, when other people were being like, oh, not so sure about this, it's looking pretty commercial, this, that.
No, but yeah, I mean, to just go back to that, I don't think the movie overall is still commercial. I just think, because I think the concept itself is pretty unique and different to a point. And I mean, given, as you said, given what Shah Rukh has been doing for the last 5 years, it's very much a welcome change. I just think at the end, like, the end is going to get a bit cliched and unrealistic. Like, I can already see it. And like, there are bits and pieces of the trailers where you can kind of piece together what the plot might be.
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
Okay, apart from Fan, there's been no other major trailers that have come out. But since the last podcast, we've got a whole bunch of songs from Kapoor and Sons.
Yeah, so I heard Let's Nacho.
Yeah.
As well as the second song, Bolna, and then the third one, Kar Gayi Chul, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
So on Let's Nacho, it's a remake of an original like Nuclear song.
Yeah.
And I definitely prefer the original much better.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a remake of Tamil Fever, right?
Yeah. There's also this very random trend I've noticed in the last, like, couple of a month, even 1-2 months. There have been so many, like, older songs just being remade for no apparent reason. So even Kar Gayi Chul is a remake of a Badshah song.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So the song released a year ago, 2014, so 2 years ago now. It sounds more or less the same, but they've kind of they've remastered it a bit, so it sounds a bit more, not upbeat, but like it's just the overall kind of quality energy level is a bit higher. They've changed around a bit of they've shortened Badshah's rap basically and added all the female singing parts and everything else.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. But overall, it sounds very similar. And then even in Ki & Ka, the High Heel song is a remake of a Honey Singh song that released 2 years ago. Bombay Rockers re-released their Rock the Party song for Rocky Handsome. Himesh Reshamya remade Ishq Samandar for God knows what reason in his new movie. Which you should watch that video, by the way. It's very entertaining and disturbing at the same time.
Honestly, I saw some Instagram of that because I follow Bollywood Instagram or Instagram Bollywood or something. Like, idiotic like that. And I was just like, I cannot believe this guy is still at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, now that you bring it up, I think that's definitely a trend, man. Like, it's pretty sad how unoriginal or how uninspiring. Oh, actually, it is very inspired in the literal sense.
Yeah. I mean, that in itself is not that new, right? But it's like earlier, like you either people remade songs from like the 50s or 60s, like Bachna Hai Haseeno and things
exactly.
like that.
This is like you're re-releasing like rap songs or released like 6 months
ago. Yeah, or the other thing people did is like a lot of songs which are like, for example, popular in Pakistan, like all the Atif Aslam songs and some Jawan and stuff, making them a Bollywood thing so that they get a more wider audience, which is still okay. But this is literally like random songs that release.
Like Juvenile G and stuff, people remade, which is fine, like Cocktail, all of that.
Yeah.
But this is like, you're remixing a remix. I don't know.
No, I mean, it's like when you're remaking like Honey Singh and Badshah songs, it's like... I mean, there's anyway, most of their songs follow the very similar pattern, so there's not much you can do with
it. Like, at least remake J-Star's song, who's by the way my favorite right now.
I got first-hand experience of that a couple of weekends ago, but we won't cover that
on
the podcast.
Your boy Badshah is doing really well, I must say.
Yeah.
Wow, I actually didn't know Kar Gayi Chul is also a remix. That's really sad, man, because I really like that song. Not that it's a bad thing, but it's just like, dude, like, please can you stop doing such formulaic things? Because basically the point of it is that, okay, we know the song already works, so let's remix it and make it a little bit different or a little bit better in their eyes so that it's a guaranteed hit music album and therefore people will come watch our movies guaranteed, even if it's a shit movie. And that's why I guess you discussed this in your trailer discussion for Kapoor and Sons. And I know we discussed this offline, but basically, I'm really scared of passing any judgment on this movie, even though it looks good, because Shandar, basically the music was so good that it completely fooled everyone.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, Kar Gayi Chul is if there are weddings and sangeet going on right now, like Kar Gayi Chul is definitely going to be like that song right now. What did you think of the music?
Of Kapoor and Sons?
Mm.
I didn't really like Bolna. Oh, I mean, not that I didn't like it, but I thought it was like very average, generic.
Yeah.
I love Kar Gayi Chul as well. I hadn't heard the original. But right after the song came out, Savan only had the original and not the other one. So now I've heard it a few times. I like both versions, actually. They're both different. Like, the Badshah one has the original, not the, I mean, it's Badshah and Fazil Puria, who's the other singer. The original one has more raps and more lines and stuff, which is also fun. But like, yeah, the Kapoor and Sons version is also pretty entertaining. I like the video as well. It's, I don't remember if we discussed this last time or not, but it's like, in general also, the video is like supposed to be a house party, and it looks like much more spontaneous and much more, you know, normal, like the way it's choreographed and the way they're dancing, etc. Like, it looks like how people would dance at a house party, where the steps are quite fluid. It's not like,
yeah,
there's like one or two choreographed stuff, but otherwise it's just people chilling, having a good time.
Yeah.
As opposed to typically in Bollywood movies, suddenly you have this big scene where everyone...
But it's still natural. It's still very remote.
It is, but it's a bit more, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, but what I'm saying is that it's still, even that naturalness is very rehearsed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I know. Yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, of course, it has to be to a certain extent, because
but I
people
at least,
can't be doing their own thing.
Yeah. But I at least appreciate the fact that they took the time to rehearse it to make it look unrehearsed.
I guess. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing is that, I guess, with Kapoor and Sons and Shandar, I think, not Shandar really, but Kapoor and Sons and a lot of Dharma production movies, Hasi to Fasi as well, I think, like, just like Dharma, like, look or aesthetic that comes into these movies, whether or not it fits the movies or not,
mm-hmm.
whether it's these songs, like, you know, okay, like, Kalve Chul, still, I can see it fitting into the script of the movie, but when I saw the video of Nacho, whatever the song's name is, like, yeah, it's just like, why is the song in this movie? This movie is set in Dehradun or someplace, you know? Like, I don't know why they do this.
They probably have it as a credit song, just because, like you
exactly,
said, because they know
this movie would be better without this, like, extra polish that Dharma gives all its movies.
Mm-hmm.
At least I feel, even though it helps sell the movie or whatever, I guess.
Cool. I don't think there was anything else that came out, but are there any other things or pieces of news that you've seen that are exciting?
Wait, you can edit this out. I'm checking Pink Villa. So the teaser poster of Dhoni came out, but it's literally just a poster.
Yeah. The other thing that we haven't really discussed is Aligarh actually released, in India at least, a couple of weeks ago. It did not release in Singapore, and therefore we were not able to watch it or do a podcast about it. It's sadly not done well at all. It's just about made 2 crores, which is disappointing because all the reviews and everyone who's seen it has said it's fantastic.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And I mean, we were really excited to watch it, but then it hasn't come out yet. We're going to try to watch it next weekend, or this weekend, coming weekend in Bombay, if it's still around, and do a podcast on it then. So we'll update on that. But yeah, it's unfortunate that it's not doing well, because I thought there was sufficient buzz around it within the industry, and it's already had a run at the film festival, etc., at the Mami Film Festival last year, and it's got a lot of press, but somehow I guess country is not quite that tolerant yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's really surprising and really sad that it just made 2 crores, because I mean, I've watched so many interviews now, all the critics, everyone is saying that it's amazing.
Yeah.
But 2 crores is like, how much, like, dude, the Hate Story 3 must have made 10 times that. Like, what the hell?
Hate Story 3 actually did really well, surprisingly. It made like 50 crores.
This is too far. Yeah,
even,
you must go watch it this weekend.
Even these Kya Cool Hai Hum and Masti Zade and all made 28,
yeah,
30 crores.
Yeah, that I know.
Surprisingly, that still meant they didn't make their budget back. So I'm wondering what on earth they spent all this budget on, because there's no wardrobe in the movie. It's all filmed in one location. I guess they're paying Sunny Leon a ton of money. Not Aligarh, Kya Cool Hai Hum and Masti Zade. I mean, but it's also number of screens, right? Because I don't think any of the smaller single screens, etc., would have carried Aligarh.
Yeah.
And in various, the smaller rural towns, there was also in general a lot of negative feeling in the town of Aligarh. They banned the movie, in fact. So maybe that had some negative effect as well.
Apparently, the mayor of Aligarh said that it's defaming the city of Aligarh. And I was just like, you guys are so dumb. where do you even begin?
Yeah, I mean, our sad reality is that parts of our country are still not ready for a movie like this. But I was hoping that even just through the multiplexes and the metros, it would do reasonably good business. On that note, we're going to wrap up today's episode. Thanks, MC, for being here.
Thanks, Bish. Looking forward to more of your reviews. Thanks again for having me on.
Thanks so much for listening. That was our show and hope you enjoyed it. You know what I'm about to say next, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please subscribe to Bollywood Weekly on iTunes using the podcast app or on SoundCloud, either on the web or using the app available on iOS and on Android. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The links are in the description. And please do spread the word and let us know what you think in the comments. If there's anything you want to see us doing differently or anything you want to see more of, we will be happy to take all your feedback. And if you want to just share your views about what you think about these movies, we will be happy to feature those as well. See you next week. जिसके हाथ में घेर के पहले मारेंगे बात करेंगे बाद में डंका उसका बोलेगा डंडा जिसके हाथ में